Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning Ligui Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHosham. Neshama should have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. Welcome back, everybody. So just a reminder, there is no Shir next week. I will not be here. We will resume Be'ezros Hashem the last week of August, and then there's only like a couple of weeks, I think only 2 weeks before our Shoshana, which is unbelievable. So I wanted to begin with a story that I put in a marker, just related to Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah. Yes, I put my mark in the right place. We are going back to the Sefer today. For your reference, we're on page 128, okay, of the second Sefer. Last week we spoke about Tzedakah. If you didn't listen to that shiur, it's on YU Torah. You might enjoy it as well. But we are going back to the inyan of Tefillah, and I hope, Belinator, very, very much, and I think that we will finish the chapter, but just one story related both to the Yamim Noraim as well as to Tefillah, so I thought a nice way to start. I'm quoting from the book Heroes of Spirit, Rabbi David Hoffman. If you don't have this, you're looking for something nice, it's beautiful. It's short, like a couple page stories each on different inspiration during the Holocaust, actually. Heroes of Spirit, there's also one, Heroes of Faith, two books in the series, recommend. Okay, as a Holocaust survivor and one who lived through the horrors of the war firsthand, some of you may have heard of him, Rav Yosef Friedenson. Did you ever hear of him? He became well-known editor of Der Yiddish Shavar. He was actually married, my grandmother had very few surviving family members left. My grandmother's first cousin, Gitol, who she was very close to, was married to Rav Yosef Friedenson. My grandmother remembered their wedding. They were married before the war. Anyway, they both survived, him and his wife, Gitol. Rav Yosef Friedenson received, quote, in his own words, 7 diplomas from 7 German universities of murder and atrocity. Atrocity? Mm-hmm. One incident that stood out in his mind involved a 15-year-old girl from the town of Chust. During his time in Birkenau, Rabbi Yosef and his friend Aviezer from the Lublin Yeshiva had been assigned the task of transporting garbage from the various depositories outside the kitchens, the latrine, and so on during camp. They had to fill the wagon, they lugged it around camp, they emptied it into the dump. No one would call the job pleasant, but in the camp it was considered one of the best. Why? Very often extra morsels of food scraps could be found in the garbage, and it gave them a certain sense of freedom to roam the camp. One day, as they were pushing the cart past the ditch that separated the men and the women's compounds in Birkenau, there was a young girl waving frantically by the separation and calling to them. A strong wind was blowing, her voice did not carry well. She held her arms together, she was shivering, and she called out numerous times, "Kent yer min kriegen a vetter?" Am I saying it okay? "Kent yer mikrigen a vetter?" Aviezer looked at Yosef for an explanation. "It's cold, I think she wants a sweater." His first reaction was a shrug of the shoulders. "A sweater? Where does one think they can get a sweater in Birkenau?" he asked incredulously. Several days later, they passed a warehouse that stored clothing on the personal effect of victims of the gas chambers. Wordlessly, Aviezer slipped through the door and he emerged a few minutes later. Underneath his prisoner uniform, he was wearing a sweater. On his emaciated body, nobody could detect the difference. He was wearing underneath a warm woolen sweater. The next day, they passed the woman's compound again, and there was that girl, as if waiting for them. He took off his prisoner jacket, removed the sweater, and quickly threw it over the barrier. She picked it up, she shook it out, and she looked at him quizzically. "What is this? A sweater? You asked for a sweater." "A sweater? No," she cried. "I said a sitter. I want a sitter. Next week is Rosh Hashanah. I hoped you could get me a sitter." Yosef and Aviezer looked at each other. They were so occupied with their mere survival for food, physical survival, and a way to warm their bodies. It never dawned on them that this young girl was asking for a sitter. Next time they passed the storage area, Aviezer smuggled out a sitter, which found its way into the girl's hands. Rav Yosef recalls they too wished to daven, but the main impediment was the load of garbage and the offensive odor, so they thought of a solution. They would pull the cart rather than push, which would take the smell out of their way. Aviezer and I would start from the beginning of davening, Matovu, Brachos, and so on. We helped each other where memory didn't work. We took a cue from the young girl who was cold without her sitter. Alavai, we should have some a fraction of the passion and the appreciation for the power of tefillah. We should never be put in such a matzav to come to the realization of what it does for us and its importance as Ovdei Hashem, servants of God. With that, let us turn to page 128, please. Okay. So one drop joins with another. That's where we're up to. If you want, we could just read the last paragraph so we're all on the same page. Pun is intended. We request many things from Hashem. I'm just turning back to bottom page 127. We're not going through the same insights again. We request many things from Hashem. Why aren't our requests always answered? Last time we added a caveat to this, okay? So be careful what he's going to say next. One of the things we spoke about 2 weeks ago is that there is din. There is just gezar din, and sometimes we don't understand. One of the reasons says, I shouldn't have gone back to this, okay? But I don't want to read this again. You can read through yourself. Okay? I don't want to read through it again. Forget it. One drop joins with another. If you want to read through it, you could read through it. We expounded and explained upon it. We're going to one drop joins with another, page 128. Hey, we must add a simple point. Remember what Rabbi Akiva said. Now, it's very famous. Actually, I looked it up, and I'm going to quote it to you from Avos Rabbi Nassan Inside, which I am thankful to the Sefer and the Shir for forcing me to look it up inside, because I never looked it up inside, actually, myself. Rabbi Akiva famously said, if water which is soft can bore a hole in stone which is hard, surely the words of Torah, which are as hard as iron, can bore a hole in my heart, which is flesh and blood. You see the footnote tells you. It's from Avos Rabbi Nassan 6:2. Vav, perek, vav. I guess it's explanation based. So here we go. I am quoting from Avos Rabbi Nassan, okay? Excuse me. When the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Have a misabik ba'afar ragleihem," you should be dusty with the dust of their feet, the dust of the feet of Talmidei Chachamim. Zeh Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rabbi Eliezer. Vishosa batzama es divrehem, and when the Mishnah tells you to drink thirstily with thirst their words, the words of Talmidei Chachamim, this is referring to Rabbi Akiva. And now the Braisa begins with the story of Rabbi Akiva, and it's very interesting. By the way, I finished the whole section. The section of Rabbi Akiva tells about his wife and about his life. It was very, very interesting, but we're not going to go through the whole thing now. We're only going to talk about specifically the piece that our Sefer, our book, just referenced. Ma hayat chila socha Rabbi Akiva. What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? Amru ben arba'im shana haya velo shana klum. He was 40 years old. What a lesson for Ella. It is never too late, no matter how much we think we said and how much we think we erred, and it's the same area all over again. And why can't I improve? I'm talking to myself. Why is it so hard? We should never give up. We should never be disheartened. If you're 40 years old and you're stuck in a certain path, it does not mean it's too late. V'lo shana klum. Pam achas haya omed al piha be'er. One time he was standing next to a well. Amr, Micha kak avenzu, and he saw a stone, and the stone had some indentations. And he said, who hollowed out? Who dug this stone? So there were people with him. Amru, they said, lo hamayim shatadir nofim tadir. What does tadir mean? Usual, tadir, v'sheno, tadir, tadir. Adif tadir means it falls continuously. Lo hamayim, is it not the water? She tadir noflim ala b'chol yam, it's the water that consistently, every single day, falls upon this stone. Amru lo, Akiva. They said to him, Akiva, I ata kore, don't you know the pasuk from Iyov? Avanim shachaku mayim. Stones are worn away by water. So the Avos Rabbi Nassan is telling you, Bryce is telling you, he was walking and he sees this stone and he sees a well and he wants to know who made an indentation in the stone. Miyad haya Rabbi Akiva dan kal v'chomer ba'atzma. Rabbi Akiva made a kal v'chomer. How do you translate kal v'chomer? I don't know what this means. A fortiori.
A
what?
A
it's not English.
It's like a Latin.
What is it, Latin? Mishpacha had a little while ago, top five Latin expressions that Jews love to say.
But this isn't one of them.
This wasn't one, but it should.
Even more so.
So Rabbi Akiva made a kal v'chomer about himself. Even more so. In other words, he took a lesson. He was saying, if this is what happens to the rock, very good. Even more so to me. Marach pasa asakasha. Just like something soft, water, can sculpt something hard, like stone. Divrei Torah, the words of Torah. By the way, it's so interesting that we compare Torah to water and to mayim chayim, because divrei Torah, over time, over and over and over and over, changes and enhances us. So divrei Torah shakasha kebarzel, divrei Torah which are as hard as iron, al achas kama kama. How much more so? Shayichakuku es libi, they can engrave my heart. Shehu basar v'dam, which is flesh and blood. And after seeing that, miyad chazar lo mo Torah. Immediately he went after this incident. What did he go do? He went to learn Torah. Halach, now this is very interesting. I'm Amish reading from Avos Rabbi Nassan. Ready? Halachu ubino. He and his son went, so I didn't know what that was talking about, but the footnote says, Hagahos hagriv. This marriage, this is apparently a son from a previous marriage. Did anybody ever hear that in their life? I'm not testing, I'm answering a serious question. No, I never. Halachu ubino, he and his son went. V'yashvu etzel malmidei tinokos. Who did they go to sit with? The teachers of children. There's no embarrassment. There's no shame. Where does Rabbi Akiva have to begin? At the very beginning. He has to go here. It's told over in the biography of Rav Moshe Twirsky, Shemin Komdamo Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, that one time he walked on Shabbos over an hour and a half to hear his Rebbe. His Rebbe was in town. From Bnei Brak, he went to hear his Rebbe speak. His Rebbe was addressing school children. But so badly did he want to hear Torah from his Rebbe that he walked so far just to hear the Rebbe speak. It didn't matter. Obviously, the shir was not going to be on the Madrega of Rav Moshe Twirsky, yet he was so thirsty for Torah. Your seat's waiting for you. Mm. It's like Bashert. Okay, miyad chazar lemotar halachu ubino. I never heard this. He and his son went. V'yashvu etzel malmidei tinokos. They went and they sat by teachers of children. Amarlo, and they said to the Rabbi Akiva said to the Rabbi of children, Rabbi lamdeini Torah. Rabbi, teach me Torah. Achaz Rabbi Akiva berosh haluach. So first one, before I looked at the English, the Hebrew is pretty easy for me to understand. What is Rosh Haluach? I couldn't have meant what I thought it meant, so then I went to the English. He grabbed the head of the, what would you translate that as? Chalkboard. No. He grabbed the head of the tablet upon which it is customary to write. Ubino berosh haluach, and his son grabbed the other end of the tablet. Of course, it doesn't mean what we mean today. Kasavlo aleph. Beis ulamda. They wrote aleph, he learned aleph. They wrote beis, he learned beis. Aleph, tav, ulamda. They wrote aleph, tav, and he learned it. So in other words, he went through all the letters. Torah, kohanim, ulamda. What's that referring to? Who knows the ancient custom? Where did yeshiva boys, if back is Europe, not even so far away, what did they first start learning with? I started Bereishis with Lech Lecha. Vayikra. So listen what the Braisa just says. Torah Kohanim. What's the name for, what's the appellation for Vayikra? Torah Kohanim. And it's an ancient custom to actually begin with Torah Kohanim. Why? I don't think that they do it anymore to begin with Vayikra. Imagine trying to teach kids today how exciting Vayikra was. You would lose them after like the fourth pasuk, Rachmana Litzlan, with the Yeridus Hadoros. I started with Lech Lecha. At least you got to learn something's happening in Bereishis, right? Avram's traveling, and there's down to Egypt, and there's a famine. Something happens, Vayikra. But why? Because just like the Karbanos are pure and are Reich Nicholich before Hashem, so too the Torah of children is pure and a pleasing fragrance for Hashem. You're smiling. Why?
Rabbi Akiva is humility personified, because he didn't put on any airs. He said, "I want to learn." Period. And he made the time for it. He had the motivation, so he did it.
Thank you. Aww. It's true. Kasavlo Aleph Beis Ulamda. Aleph Tav Ulamda. Torah Kohanim Ulamda. They wrote Aleph Beis, he learned it. They wrote Tav, he learned it. They started to teach him Vayikra, he learned it. Haya Lomeid Vaholeich. He had perseverance. He was going and learning. Ad Shalamad Kol HaTorah Kula. How did it start? Because he saw a rock. The rock had an indentation, and he said, wow, how is this rock indented from the water that is tadir from dripping over and over and over, immersing himself in Torah. Halach v'layashu v'lifnei Rabbi Eliezer v'lifnei Rabbi Yoshua. He went and he sat before Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Amar lam rabosai, pitchu li tam mishnah. He said, my masters, reveal to me the tam, the reason of the mishnah. Kevan sh'amulo halacha achas. They told him one halacha. Halach v'yashav lo beino levein atzmo. We often forget about this realm of avodas Hashem. And it's very important. We're in Elo. We think so much about ani and me and God. Ani l'dodi v'dodi. And we think so much about me and my fellow man. That is me and fellow man. But we sometimes forget that there's a third realm of avodas Hashem, and it's Bein Adam La'atzmo. It's a realm of cultivating myself between me and myself. By the way, it's a Venn diagram, okay? None of these exist in isolation. Let's be clear. Bein Adam L'chaveiro, between man and fellow man, clearly is also Bein Adam L'mako. And Bein Adam La'atzmo, between man and himself, also involves between me and God and between me and fellow man. So none of these are like absolute lines. They overlap. But L'maisa, we tend to forget about the realm of me and myself. And that's exactly what the Lashon is. Halach v'yashavlo beino levein atzmo. After he started to learn, he learned Aleph, he learned Tav, he learned Beis, he learned Torah Kohanim, which is Vayikra. He started to ask questions on the Mishnah. He went and he sat and he worked with himself. Amar Aleph zu lama nichtava, Beis zu lama nichtava. He started to inquire. Not one word in the Torah, shebichtav or baal peh, superfluous. Why is this Aleph here? Why is this Beis here? Davar ze lama ne'emar. Why is this stated? Chazar u'sha'alan ve'ha'amidam bidvarim. He went back to his rabbeim and he asked them and they were brought to a stop. How great did he become? Greater than those who taught him Torah. I just want to see if I want to tell you one thing. Then it talks about his wood and how he sustained himself. It's very fascinating. We're going to stop here because that talks about how he was 40 when he went to learn Torah. At the end of 13 years, he taught Torah publicly. Fascinating. Okay, fascinating. Let's go. Rabbi Akiva not only is so humble, like Nancy said, what else did you say? Humble and what? No airs about him. But he also teaches us so beautifully of the midah of perseverance. And it's mamish elo. And sometimes I just feel like I'm working on the same things. I don't seem to be making progress. Like Ribbono Shel, it's the same nisos, the same people, the same Yetzer Hara, the same inyanim. He was fine. I'm 42. I'm not making progress. Little. You're making progress. Each one of us is making progress in our own personal challenges and nisyonos. Even if you're going to see what Rabbi Chaver says, we're not going to see it immediately. It's a work in progress, and it's a lifetime of work. Well, you have to know that if you immerse yourself in the proper things, if you surround yourself with the proper people, if you make available to yourself the resources of Torah that we have accessible in our day and age, Chas Deshem Olam Hashira, we're not living in a barren desert anymore. America used to be, not anymore. We make ourselves available, the resources to us, and the water drips slowly, slowly. Questions or comments? Okay. You look like you want to say something.
It does drip very slowly. His persistence, you know, because it's the persistence. He didn't give up. He just kept at it, and hence the water dripping slowly.
So the very last Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, Parak Chas Mishnah Tes. Very last Mishnah. Actually, the words of Maseches Yuma end with Rabbi Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael, mi mitahar eschem. Ashreichem Shabashamayim. Ma mikva mitahar satmeim. Avakosh Baruch Hu mitahar satmeim. The very last Mishnah of Yuma ends with the words of Rabbi Akiva. Talking about Rabbi Akiva. How does the beginning of that Mishnah begin? Ha'omer echta va'ashuv. Echta va'ashuv. Eima speakum biyadol says teshuva. Gives me so much chizuk. What does it mean? Ha'omer echta va'ashuv, echta va'ashuv, emet speakum v'yadu sos teshuva. What does it mean? I'm going to translate for you. One who says, I sin, and then I'm going to repent. I'm going to sin, I'm going to repent. He's not going to be given the chance to do teshuva. What do you think? We'll have the Aleph Alpha, if it does, it's confession. You're going to go, Rachmana Latzlan, into some booth on a Sunday morning, and there's Lahavda Alpha, if does. There's a guy on the other side, and you're going to sin. You're going to say, Father, I sinned, I spoke slander, my daughter, you're absolved, have some wafer, I'm not exactly sure what happens over there, and now you're free. Ha'omer echta va'ashuv, echta va'ashuv, ema speakum, yado says shuv. It's not a game. Rav Eli Melech Biderman brings down the most geshmak vart on this Mishnah. Ready? Ha'omer. We're talking about persistence, and we're talking about perseverance. We're talking about humility, and we're talking about not giving up. Ben Adam la'atzmo. You can't give up on yourself. Never mind you can't give up on the guy next door. Never mind you can't give up on your child. Never mind you can't give up on your neighbor. You can't give up on your very own self. He said, I learned Aleph. I learned Beis. I'm 40, no matter. I learned Tav. I'm going to hold the end of the chalkboard. What does the Mishnah mean? I'm going to sit by myself. What is the Aleph doing here? What's the Beis doing here? Halach v'yashav beino vein atzmo. Ha'omer echtava ashuv. One who says, every time I sin, I will do teshuva. Echtava ashuv. Because Baruch Hu, I'm a human being. Memela, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's so hard to be a human being. It's not hard to be a malach. The Chassid is saying, it's not hard to be an angel. What's hard is to be on the level of a human being. Ribbono Shel Olam, ha'omer echta v'ashuv. Every single time I sin, ashuv. I'm going to do teshuva. Echta v'ashuv. Every single time I sin, I'm going to do teshuva. I don't want to sin. But I'm a human being. Ema speaking, says Rabbi Biderman, there's no suffix. There's no doubt. Biado, in his hands is the power, la'asos teshuva, to do teshuva. Remember one thing, this aloe, remember that. We're not condoning sin. We're not saying you should go like this on your Tishrei and then you're off Tishrei, engage in a conversation. With business. So I watch two people on the screen sleeping together, Rahman al Tzan, seeing things I shouldn't be seeing. Then I go like this, I clap al chait. So what's the pshat? I'm never going to sin again. So maybe your mamish never sees such things again. Maybe you will. Omer echta v'ashuv echta v'ashuv ema speaking b'yadol esas tushuva. You'll be helped because bein adam la'atzmo, every time you sin, because you're a human being and it's easy to fall, you're going to resolve to change, and you're going to resolve to change like you mean it. Ema speaking b'yadol la'asos tushuva. Why? Something that you said reminded me. I don't remember, but something you said reminded me about Rabbi Akiva. He didn't give up. What effects can drops of water have on a stone? If one would examine each drop on its own, he would not notice any effect. That's what I just said. I said the Sefer is going to say, I don't see an effect on myself. I'm immersed in Torah. I'm trying. I have wonderful friends. I say Tehillim. I'm trying so much. But sometimes I'm still battling the same thing. Because if you examine each drop on its own, you don't notice an effect. Only after tens, hundreds, thousands of drops, the significant effect of the drops become apparent over and over, and reminders and shiurim and asking a rav and being influenced for tova and having positive friends over and davening over and over and over. So too in our avoda, so too in our work. Our service of God, avodah, both in general, but specifically in the area of tefillah that we are now discussing. So this applies to all of Odis Hashem. And he says, you know, you want to work on tefillah, but you feel like I'm making so little progress and it's so slow. Slowly. You can't go to one shir, and then the next morning my chakras is going to be the most perfect chakras that feel like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not realistic. Slowly. There's one drop of effort after another until they join to bore a hole in the stone, which is paraphrasing from the life of Rabbi Akiva. Tefillah, prayer, will place in your heart the belief in Ashkacha Pratis, divine providence. But you cannot examine your heart every single day and say, a moment before tefillah, I felt a certain way. Now, after tefillah, do I really have more amuna? If you expect to be struck by lightning after one prayer, if you expect to see that the rock was cracked in half after one prayer, it's not going to happen. There isn't any instrument to measure this. The tefillah must be done in a way that strengthens the principle of amunah, faith, but you will only be able to check its influence after periods of time, like water that bores hole in a stone. So we need to, keyword, and I know we've spoken about it before, and that is patience. And in Hebrew, patience is savlanut. And the root word of savlanut is lisbol. And lisbol means saval. It means to bear a burden. It's very, very interesting. Lashon HaKodesh is like, no, Hebrew is like no other language. In English, you just say patience. But in Hebrew, it tells you what the word really means. What the word really means, lisbol. It's heavy. Vayet shechmo lisbol. By the Birkas Yaakov, Yisachar. Chamar rovets. He's a strong bone donkey, bending to bear the burden. Lisbol means you have to bear something heavy. What does it teach you about savlanut? It's very hard to carry or to exhibit or to display and apply the midah of patience. But like my brother said to me, Micha, because something is hard doesn't mean I should not work on it. Ayet shechmo lisbol, Yisachar, Chamar, Rovetz. Yisachar is the tribe of Torah, and he's like a strong bone donkey, crouching low. And what is he doing? Lowering his shoulder to bear the burden. And that's what it means to have savlanus. If you expect it to be heavy, then you won't be disappointed when it feels heavy. But if you expect it to be light and to go fast, then you're going to give up on yourself. Key word is patience, savlanus. The tefillah will not necessarily, or probably not, be much changed from one shachrus to the next mincha. But slowly, you are having an effect. Hani's Torah teachings. This is gray. Gray is what she herself said. I mean a gray box in the book. It's actually Hani's words. Okay? The Baal Shem Tov says, listen to this. If I daven today the way I davened yesterday, I didn't daven because Hashem sends me every day a new awareness of who I am. In other words, if your tefillah really has no change, Like, if it's literally the same yesterday, today you have a different Nisayan. Today is a different situation. Erev Shabbos, Tefillah should not be the same Tefillah as Monday. You need more koch, you need more time, you need the clock to go slower, my app reminder, you need to stay calm, you need to remember how to behave, whatever it is. So the Sunday Tefillah is not going to be the same as Erev Shabbos Tefillah. For example, let's say yesterday, I'm going back to Henny. I didn't realize I have a temper, or that I'm jealous, or that I'm dishonest, different negative midos, character traits. But when I yelled at somebody today, or I was jealous, or I said something dishonest, or I wanted to say something dishonest, Hashem made me realize who I am. It's a gift, by the way. It's a big gift to realize who you are. You know what a madriga it is? Just to know who I am. It might not be positive. You know what a high level, what a gift it is to be aware of who I am? We tend to think, I'm holy, everybody else has faults. Ein adam ro'a chova la'atzma. I've quoted it so many times. The Gemara says, a man does not see his own chova, his own chayav, his own guilt. He tends to see what everybody else could be doing better. You could be going to more shiurim. You could dress better. You could eat more kosher. You should say more tilm. You should be more patient. What about me? Ein adam la'atzmo, halach v'yashav beino uvein atzmo. Know who you are, says Henny. Don't run away from your imperfections. Be honest with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Be honest with the Almighty. Be honest with yourself. Know who you are, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help you, that you have to keep on asking Him for help. That's, remember what she said, one of the most powerful things in the book that I've told you before, and I tell it to myself sometimes. Korach, who remembers? Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't, exactly. He didn't ask Hashem to help him change. So when we're faced with the nisyonos over and over, this ball, and I'm bearing the burden, and I don't see him changing, and am I really more patient? Is my tefillah better? Is my client better? You turn to Hashem, you say, Baruch Hashem, Emeli, you made me this way. So tell Hashem it's your fault. Now you have to help me change. You gave me the problem, you have to take away the problem. Ask Kosh Baruch Hu to help you. You have to keep asking for help. That's the reason we have faults, says Henny. We have faults so we can connect to Kosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, this is a quote from many. If you don't close my mouth, I'm going to eat everything in the house. That's what it says in the book. Hashem, if you don't close my mouth, I'm going to talk Lashon Hara about every single person I know. Hashem, if you don't help me not to be jealous, I'm going to be jealous of every single person in the world. Obviously, everyone should put in their own Nisayon here. But to get to the place where you realize you're dependent on Kodesh Baruch Hu, not only for Gashmi, so we know we're dependent. We daven for Parnasa, we daven for food, we daven for clothing. When I go to the grocery store for a few things, and I come out with the bill, I always try and say, Bli Nader, I always try and say, thank you Hashem that I could buy food. So we're aware that we're dependent on Hashem for the gashmis, the physical realities of life, but we have to realize and get to the places, honey, that we realize we're dependent on Kosh Baruch Hu for your ruchnias, your spiritual traits, your spiritual side as well. I can't breathe if Hashem doesn't help me, and He doesn't give me breath. And I can't work on being better if Hashem doesn't help me be better. I have to know that I'm nothing. I have to know He's everything. I shouldn't say, I do chesed, I have children, I'm smart, I teach. No. You know what you should say? Hashem teaches. Hashem is children. Hashem does everything else. And Rabbi Machlis' story, what was Henny's Yetzer Hara? She would say, her Yetzer Hara is thinking that it's me. It's easy to get it carried away. There's a whole long list of frum people today who are frum because of Henny. I would say remembering it was Hashem was a struggle she worked on. She worked on internalizing that. She would say about herself, do you think I'm capable of having 14 children? Who had 14 children? Hashem. Henny worked hard understanding human excellence comes from God. Oh, interesting, because you brought up humility. Humility is not a repudiation of accomplishment. Humility means I play an instrument well, but it's a talent from Hashem. I recently saw something beautiful on humility. I think I quoted it. Who remembers? Maybe I didn't quote it. 1 second, please. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Mm. That's really what Henny's saying. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Rather, thinking of yourself less means you're thinking of Hashem more and the other person more. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's not that I'm not smart. It's not that I'm not talented. It's not that she didn't have 14 children. It's not that she wasn't a teacher. It's not that she didn't make people from. It's that all of those kochos and talents came to Hashem, and we need to daven for all those kochos and all those talents. I play an instrument well, it's a talent from God. In the end, Henny knew she didn't do anything. She didn't have Shabbos guests. She didn't raise a family. She didn't teach. She didn't do chesed. Well, obviously she did, but you understand. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he really means it, but he says it before his radio program.
Who?
Rush Limbaugh said, talent on loan from God. And it's just like...
What does he say? Talent?
Talent on loan from God.
You mean about himself?
Yeah.
I don't think he means it. I think it's
very what?
Humble.
Humble?
He's not really.
Isn't he Jewish?
Half his brains out behind his head.
No, he's not Jewish.
Oh, he's not Jewish? Does he have a cochlear implant? I know there's some connection.
He does.
Oh, it's not the Jewish part. It's a cochlear implant part.
Oh, yeah.
Talent unknown from God. So what are you saying?
I'm just saying that, you know, it's just a nice way of remembering that. But what you have is...
Maybe in a way. How do we know he doesn't mean it, Lamaisa? How do we know part of him doesn't mean it humbly?
He might really.
I mean, I never heard him speak, so I don't know. But maybe he really means it.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Let's go. Anything else? Ladies, anything else? Okay. Top of page 129. When engaging in tefillah, you must approach it in a way of instilling emunah in yourself. For example, you daven for shoes, start talking to Hashem, and you should say, my shoes tore because that was your will. I certainly need shoes, either because the rain is getting in, because of my dignity. There's a story of Rav Freifeld that's brought down one of the books on Rav Freifeld. Maybe on the biography, one of the books is purple. I don't remember the exact title, but he had a doctor's appointment. You know the story, it's towards the end of the book. It was the end of his life when he was sick. He had a doctor's appointment and he didn't know what to do. Should he wear his slippers that didn't require anyone to help him tie it, or should he wear his shoes? But then someone needed to help him tie it, so he was going to wear his slippers. But then he thought, because he didn't want someone to tie it, but he would have to be Mashiach's wife, but then he was going to wear slippers. But then he thought, but if I go out in slippers, what about the dignity of the doctor and all the people in the office? It wasn't like Bakavodik, he felt, to go out to present himself to people wearing his slippers, so he ended up wearing his shoes. I just thought when I said this, because it says, because of my dignity. So there's something to be said for dignity when we go out dressed Bakavodik. We spoke about, we learned Rav Schwab on shoes, and Sha'asali Kotsarki, we learned it inside together. I would certainly need shoes, whether because the rain is getting in or because of my dignity. Ribbono shel Olam, master of the world, you are the only one to turn to for shoes. I am asking for shoes, but I know that the main benefit of tefillah is not the shoes. Perhaps I need to suffer by not having them. The main thing, did I miss a word? Maybe, no. Perhaps I need to suffer by not having them. The main thing is that I know you are the one to turn to. Whatever it is, whether it was Henny's case, whether it's Arnie's son, whether it's Rabbi Akiva, whether it's new shoes, whether or not the prayer is accepted, okay, that's a whole different inyan. The main goal must be attain emunah through tefillah. And Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this, and Rav Shimshon Pinchas speaks about this, Zecher Tzidkun Bevracha, that the goal of tefillah is not to get what you want. Rather, the goal of tefillah is to become close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a fact of prayer. It's to enhance your relationship. What parent never wants to hear from their child? What parent never wants to hear from the child? The child never calls, the child never texts, the child never has a conversation, the child mumbles and walks by and just eats the food and takes the drink and passes by and never, is the laundry ready and there's nothing even, there's no give and take. Who wants to hear that? Oh, you might tell the child they could have what they want, you might tell the child they can have what they want, but Lamaisa, you want a connection, you want a relationship with that child. So too, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rav Soloveitchik says, he's brought down actually one of his machzorim, either the machzor Rav the Yom Kippur, the machzor Rav the Rosh Hashanah, I don't remember offhand which one. Hashem is always shomea tefillah. He's not always mikabel our tefillah. He always hears our prayer. He's not always accepting of the prayer, because when he's not accepting of the prayer, it means it's not to our benefit. Rav Soloveitchik related this in a shir, it's brought down the matzo, but then Rav Shai Shechter told me, his father Shlita, Rav Herschel Shechter, was in the shir when Rav Soloveitchik said this. Rav Soloveitchik himself said, over and over he davened to be allowed to stay in Europe in the 1930s. He davened that this was his personal vignette or life experience that Hashem is shomea tefillah, but he's not always mekabel tefillah, and that's for a positive. And Rav Herschel Shechter was in the shir when the Rav spoke about this, and he said how many times he davened to be allowed to stay in Europe in the 1930s. For whatever reason, he did not want to have to leave Europe. And he talks, and the Lord is righteous in all his ways, he talks about his cousin, an Adam Gadol, the son of Avishai Glickson. It was a week after Shavuot Brach, as the Nazis invaded the town, they tied, it was the Rav's cousin, his wife down to the back of one car, he down to the back of the other car, and the Nazis took down off the street. So Rav Soloveitchik is saying, Hashem is always shomea tefillah, he's not on the kabbat tefillah. What would have happened had he stayed in Europe? wasn't allowed to stay in Europe. The tefillos were not mikabel, the way he would daven, but they're always shomeya. So here he says, whether or not the prayer is accepted, in other words, whether it's mikabel, that's not the main goal. Because Tzvah of Salvation, in a different essay, we would be the most unfortunate creations if God always accepted the prayers that we ask for. The main goal is to attain Amunah through Tefillah, and Amunah leads us to Dveikus. Remember when we were trying to decide if the class is really on Amunah or really on Dveikus? But they go hand in hand. If you have Amunah, faith, you have Dveikus, you cling to God. And if you cling to God, you have faith in God. Initially, a person might pray because he wants new shoes. Really, as mentioned, he must realize that the Tefillah is for strengthening Amunah. So in other words, whatever you think you're davening for, you're really davening for something else. Whatever you think you're davening for, ultimately you're davening to be close to Hashem. Everything else is a vehicle or a bridge to bring you to closeness. How apropos for our preparation in Elul. I came outside tonight to leave the shir and I saw the moon. And for one second I was confused. I thought, it's the end of the month? It took me like a split second. You know, and I thought, no, it was just Rosh Chodesh. How apropos for this time period of year when we have a few weeks left still before the Yom HaDin. The main avoda of this time, besides for Teshuvah, is Tefillah. There's Slichos, there's the David Hashem or Rav Yishi. So we're going to be saying Avinu Malkeinu after Shemona Esrei. We're going to be adding Shir HaMaz V'Mamakim Karasicha after Yishtabach V'Daseres V'Mei Teshuvah. There is so much focus on Tefillah. What's the whole point? We think the whole point is to get what we want. Not really. The whole point is to establish a Kesher with Hashem. Imagine having opportunity to sit with your closest confidant, whether it's your spouse or your best friend or your parent or your child or your sister or your most loved neighbor who's closer to you than flesh without any distractions. There's no phone, there's no one knocking on the door, there's no supper to eat, there's no laundry. You just get to sit with that person and speak from the depths of your heart. That's what tefillah is supposed to be. I say supposed to be. Because it's such a challenge, I think, maybe not for you, but for me. It's such a challenge to get rid of all those distractions. And that's this time period. What a chance it is to refocus on who? God in our lives. That's what's a chance for. You're not really davening for shoes. You're really davening for Hashem. An even higher aspect is talking to Hashem. And that is a goal besides the desired object. And besides the attainment of Emunah. If one has not yet attained Emunah, the main goal should be to attain Emunah. But if one has attained it, the main goal is the very privilege of talking intimately to Hashem. There is no distraction. There's no phone buzzing. They've done studies. I'm sure that you've read them. I'm so upset. Mishpacha stopped their column Tech Talk. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I feel like I should write a letter and I want it back.
Well, it was my favorite
column, one of them.
Was it about appropriateness?
It was about challenges with technology. Oh. Every week they interview different people about their personal challenges anonymous.
Oh.
It should be at least a monthly column. Anyway, intimately, they've done studies that even when you can see this, okay, it's on airplane mode. Baruch Hashem doesn't distract them. It's on airplane mode during Shia. That's because my brain is programmed to know. Why isn't it distracting when it's on airplane mode? This is not a problem at all. Why? Because I know it's an airplane. I know it's on my recorder. It's serving a different topic. But you should know at home. When I'm preparing for Shir, this is MS. I see it in myself. I can't even see this. I put it where I cannot see it. Even if the screen is black, I have no messages. I have no emails. I can't even have it where I can see it. That's how distracting it is. They've done studies. They've done studies that show that it just being in your presence, knowing it's there, causes distraction. So when I daven, I cannot be in the same room. I don't even want to be in the same room. My phone is in the kitchen and I have my makom kavua. I tried a makom kavua in the living room in a chair and that's where I am. I don't want it even if it's black, even if it's upside down, even if I only see the case. The idea that it's there destroys our connection off the bat with the Ribono Shel Olam. Please don't bring Yotzei min HaKlal, somebody's in labor, and your child's in an emergency. I'm not talking about that. Bidarach Klal. You know what I say to myself? Mashiach's not going to come. I did an experiment a few Friday mornings ago. I put away my phone. I didn't check it for 2.5 hours. I said, I'm just putting away. You know what happened in the interim? Nothing. I got some messages. I got some texts. I cooked for Shabbos. I didn't check it once for 2.5 hours. I'm so upset. Tech talk stopped. I didn't check it for over 2.5 hours. What happened? Nothing. Bein Adam, Bein Atzma. I was in the kitchen cooking for Shabbos. Anything earth-shattering happened that I needed to know, the messages that were coming. So after I checked my phone, the whole point, so imagine this time period, it's Elul. We have to put away our phones. We have to put away our distractions. We come to the Yamim Nora and we're saying, Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak, V'yam Yitzibecha, V'kaveh El Hashem. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, that's the pasuk that proves tefillah needs strengthening. Hope to God. We spoke about this last year. I remember we were talking about v'ya'amitz and amatz, whatever. Put everything away, because the ultimate goal of tefillah, which is such a focus of this time, is just talking to Hashem. Therefore, in prayer, you should thank Hashem for the privilege of talking to Him. Thank you, Hashem, that I could buy groceries, so thank you, Hashem, that I could talk to you. This is a basic introduction to this is a basic introduction. Okay, we delved, Baruch Hashem, much more in depth. I don't even know how... It's only been 20 pages in the actual Sefer. This is a basic introduction to the entire process of tefillah. When you speak to Hashem, you have an unparalleled opportunity. You know that girl in the camp, Rav Yosef Friedenstein, said, what does she want? Could I have a sitter? It's an unparalleled opportunity. If you recognize this, and you know that the real, that is the value of tefillah, it will be carried out with joy and inspiration. So just before we recess, keep in mind there is no shir next week. I just want to quote a var from Rav Shimshon Pinkas, HaTorah VeHakinyana, the attainment of Torah. Okay? So Rav Shimshon Pinkas, it's actually about Esther, Hamalka, but it has a beautiful point. Purim was a time of test for the Jewish people. The God of Hadar, Mordechai, raised Esther in his home, and she becomes the queen. The Jews knew, we have a sister in the palace. It's interesting, because it's not unlike today what some people think. Then a terrible decree came upon the Jews to destroy, kill, annihilate all the Jews. So Mordechai goes to Esther, and Mordechai tells her, everybody's dependent on you, you have to go to the king. We know the story. She says no, he says yes, this is a time like this, you became queen, fine. So she says, Lech knosas kol ha-yehudim ha-nimtzayim b'shushan, go gather everyone. V'tzumu alai, al-tochu v'al-tishtu shloshas yamim, fast for me 3 days, no b'shi, maniyim v'narosai tzum. Came, I'm going to do the same thing. So then everyone fasts, and everyone's davening, and Mordecai's in sackcloth and ashes, and the medrash, such a beautiful medrash, that the children, he went to gather all the children, and they're in all sackcloth and ashes, and they're in their yeshiva. And what does Esther do? Instead of pleading for the people, what does she do? Yavo ha-melech v'haman al ha-mishta. What does she do? You ought to come to the party. Now, who loves parties more than Achashverosh, the king? The entire Jewish people are anxious. We have a sister in the palace. They're waiting with bated breath. Al tochu v'al tishtu, shloshes yamim, gam aniv v'narosai tzum came. Everyone's fasting. It's not one day Yom Kippur. It's 3 days Yom Kippur. And in fact, the Mishnah, beautiful, the Medrash beautifully says, Medrash Eicha Rabba, Esther Rabba. I'm talking too fast. Medrash Esther Rabba says beautifully, Mordechai sends a message. And they're going back and forth. It's Pesach. How could we fast? So she says to Mordechai, if there are no Jews, lama zeh Pesach? What's the point of Pesach if there will be no Jews to observe Pesach? We have to push off Pesach for the fast, because the fast is over Yom Tov. Mordechai says we can't fast. She says we have to fast. So everybody's fasting. Everybody's praying. Everyone's in sackcloth and ashes, from women to men, children to nurslings. And she goes to the king and she says, come to my party. Come to my party. Not one party. Two parties. Everyone's on Twitter feed waiting to find out what's going to happen. They can't put their phone away for 5 minutes. Never mind 2.5 hours. They're all waiting for the WhatsApp that says, we're saved. And they get a WhatsApp. They're going to a party. A party? Why did she do this? For Pinchas quotes Chazal. So the Jewish people should not say, Baruch Hashem, we have a sister to save us in the palace. And then they would stop davening to Hashem. They would put their trust in who? Al tivtuchu bindivim v'vein adam she'ein lo sishua. Do not touch in princes and the sons of man. There is no salvation. Teitze rucho yashuv la'admaso. Hallelujah. Every day after Ashrei, his soul goes out. He's going back to the dust. Why did she do it? Because everyone's davening and davening. And oh, Baruch Hashem, we have Esther. No, that's not who you daven to. Who's going to save you? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. At that point, the Jewish people hit rock bottom. It was disastrous. Everything was against them. Their situation is hopeless, but their secret hope is their sister in the palace, and she betrays them. What does a person do in a crisis when he's sick and tired of everything, when he wants to escape from the whole world, when he's in despair? What does he do? What did their heart desire? They did teshuvah. That's now. That's the time period we're in. We have nobody rely on. Ein lanu al mila hishayin ela avinu shabashamayim. They did teshuvah, they learned Torah, they reaccepted Torah upon themselves. At the time of test, in a moment of crisis, when everyone seems to betray you, even Esther Hamalka, the sister in the palace, the Jew in the White House, betrays you, then your inner will is revealed. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yom ha'hu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Everything falls away, And then only HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zocha to have the patience to bear our burdens, to sit in the corner like Rabbi Akiva and not give up on ourselves. Slowly, slowly, the water's having an effect. B'soros tovos, everybody. Ma'ad Hashem, kol mishal sibeinu l'tova. Amen v'amen. Thank you. There is no...